I'm Ben Pugh, and you're listening to Impact, Parenting with Perspective, episode 152. This podcast is all about helping parents manage the mental and emotional drama that comes with parenting teens, so they can focus on what's most important, building rock-solid relationships and having a powerful impact on their teen's life. Join me each week as I dive into real tools to help you and your teen turn struggles into strengths. All right. Welcome back to the podcast, all you parents of teenagers. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and thank you for doing this inner work so that you can be the parent of your dreams. I know your teen doesn't always appreciate it, so I'm going to tell you thank you for them just real quickly. They'll get it when they're parents of teens. Don't worry. Today, I am super excited to introduce my guest. Like, I don't know that he would be on most of your guys' radar since you're coming to me from other parenting stuff or life coaching stuff, but this man has had a huge impact on my life. He taught me how to podcast. Which, by the way, Cliff, I got to just brag for a minute. I've had a couple of interviews or people interviewed me on their podcast, and they reached out to me afterwards and they're like, so your sound quality is way better than mine. Like, what mic do you use? What do you do here? Like, so this guy taught me how to have good sound, good everything. This is Cliff Ravenscraft. Welcome to the show.
Ben, I am super excited to be here, and I can't wait to have whatever conversation is about ready to take place. I'm thrilled to be a guest on your show today. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. And just, I don't even know if you know the answer to this. How many podcast episodes have you created over your lifetime?
So I have, I think, between my wife and I think we have a total of 50 different podcast shows. Okay. And over 4,700 podcast episodes are including my voice. A majority of that solo hosted stuff. Yeah. I have at least 40 of my own solo hosted podcasts and 4,700 podcast episodes. So yeah, I like to talk a lot.
Yeah, I do too, which I love that I have someone like you that kind of is proof that, hey, this works. Like, you can make a living talking. I met you as the podcast answer man. You are now the mindset answer man. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. That's the branding that I use online, is mindset answer man today.
Yeah, I love that. And listening to some of your more recent podcasts, I love this shift. Like, I just love the journey that you're on. I feel like you and I are kind of going down a similar journey, and I'm just so grateful to have you here.
So you know, I hear that quite a bit lately. By the way, there are some in my community that are not so excited about the journey that I'm on, and they're like, I was resonating with you for a while. Whenever you, the life that you had lived for the first 47 years of your life, Cliff, I really resonated with that. I've been following you for the last couple of decades. I mean, I just have been so inspired and motivated by you and blah, blah, blah. And in the last 3.5 years, I've deviated from the first 47 years of pathway that I was on. And since today, I no longer fit within the box that is validating someone else's worldview. Since I've stepped outside of that system of beliefs that I held for the first 47 years of my life, I do find some people saying, I think this is about as far as I want to go on this path, on this journey with you, Cliff Ravenscraft. But you know what? When I've been struggling for the last 3.5 years with overcoming my own fears of that response, that reaction from my community. I have intentionally withheld the fullest expression of who I am today and my beliefs as they are today, because I was afraid that today I would be judged by those people the way that I, let's just say 5, 10, 15 years ago, had judged everyone else who believes what I believe today.
Yes.
And I mean, and of course, it reminds me of when the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged, because the measure for which you judge another, measure for measure, you will be judged. And I'm like, whew, boy, am I feeling the heat of that. I never thought for a moment that that judgment would be coming from me.
Yes.
So it's been self-judgment of who I am today. And it's creating all sorts of stories of fear and anxiety and guilt. And Ben, just yesterday, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but just yesterday, I published episode 697 of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show, where after 3.5 years, I finally said, okay, enough is enough. I can no longer be unauthentic. Here is who I am today. This is where I'm at on this spiritual journey. This is what I've been up to for the last 3.5 years of my life. And there you go. And by the way, immediately I had someone immediately unsubscribe from my Train with Cliff audio journal, because Cliff, the reason why I was supporting your membership is because I saw your ministry in the world and I wanted to financially contribute to it. But based upon your most recent episode, I can no longer in good conscience support you financially. I said, dude, I totally understand that. And I thank you for that. In fact, based upon your belief system, it's the only right decision for you is to not support me, because I want you to live in alignment with what you believe to be true. And I don't want to change what you believe to be true. I've changed what I believe to be true, but I'm not trying to change what you believe to be true. And I think it's amazing. I wish more folks would live in alignment with what they truly believe. That's my heart. That's my passion. And I'm thrilled that you've unsubscribed from your financial support of my Train with Cliff audio journal program.
Yeah. So when you say, I wish more people would live in alignment with, gosh, I can't remember the words you said.
But what they believe to be true.
Yes. Yeah. So I would kind of say that that's their identity. They need to better live in alignment with their identity. The problem that I found is that I feel like most of the world is in a semi-unconscious sleeping state, and they do not know completely what their identity is. They don't know what they value and what they don't value. And it isn't until people kind of brush up against these, like, I don't know if you used to play computer games, but I remember you can make the computer game a little bit harder by turning on exploration mode. And then, like, where you were, you could see the geography around you, but out a little ways away from you, it just kind of got gray and obscured and then turned dark. And so you had to, like, move through the map before it would reveal what's around you. And I feel like oftentimes we don't know what our identity is because we've never explored out beyond ourselves. We've never questioned what our values are, what's truly important, what do I actually believe. And it's when we question that that we then gain awareness and the power to be intentional about what we choose to believe and how we choose to think. And so it almost sounds like this person, like, you kind of led them down this path where they had to question, what do I believe? How do I think? And it might feel uncomfortable, but it's a powerful moment to realize, hey, we're not going down the same path anymore. And thank you for taking me on this journey, because I now know that and I'll be over here. But
yes, I love, yes, that's exactly what you're saying is, I want to go back to the first thing that you said, that you believe that a majority of people alive today are semi-unconscious of what they believe, who they are, what their identity is. I'm fully on board with that. In fact, I would say maybe even 95 to 98% of the people on this planet are close to fully unconscious of who they are and what they believe and what their values are. And of course, I make no judgment of that. I mean, there is a very real reason for this. Ben, have you read the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz?
No, but that is now jumping to the top of my list.
Sweet. In fact, it is the main topic of episode 697 of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show podcast. So if you're interested in either a preview of that book before you read it, check out the Cliff Ravenscraft Show episode 697. Or if you get the book, by the way, the audio book is only 2.5 hours in length, and that's unabridged.
Yeah.
So you could, what is 1 3/4 hours if you listen at double speed, which I wouldn't recommend. Listen to it at full speed because, or at normal speed, because it's Peter Coyote is the or the narrator for this. And it is an incredibly powerful narration. Anyway, so super short book. Anyone could read this book in an afternoon and certainly a weekend, even if you're the slowest reader on the planet.
That's me.
Now, the first chapter of this book talks about the domestication of humans.
Ooh.
And it talks about what's called the dream of the planet. And it talks about the fact that as we as spiritual beings here having this human experience, when we come in human form, we have this capacity to dream, to imagine, to have thoughts manifest into physical reality. And prior to our arrival as humans, so for you and I, Ben, prior to us getting here, the manifestation of an entire world was already created before us. And so it's called the dream of the planet. So, and within the dream of the planet, or the dream of society, or the dream of humanity, there are countless other sub-dreams that make that up. So there's the dream of a country. Okay. There's the dream of certain states. There's the dream of a family. There's the dreams of different religious communities. There's the dreams of everything has a dream. There, the laws are this agreed upon. And basically what he's talking about is dreams are, this is a suggestion of what is right, what is wrong, what things are. This is how we interpret this. This is the label we put on that. We use these words to describe this, and this is the right way to do things and the wrong way to. So we have all of these suggestions that this is how things are, and that was decided upon by those people who came before us who dreamed those dreams.
Yeah.
And then, because we're little, we are then taught by our parents, our society, our teachers, our religious leaders, our pastors, whatever, we are taught the dream that has been dreamed already is now spoon-fed to us. Here's your dream.
Yes.
This is who we're not even given the opportunity to choose what language we speak. We're not given the opportunity to choose what religion we belong to.
What our
We're not even given the ability to choose our name. And in fact, once I was introduced to this concept of the fact that we have been we've been domesticated, even.
Yeah.
Like a dog is domesticated. It's like, listen, this is what's good. This is what, through punishment and reward, you know, good boy, bad girl, you know, all this other stuff. When I learned all of this and I realized, wow, what I've been going through in the last 3.5 years is a lot of unlearning, unagreeing with things that I once believed, or some people call it deconstruction. And as I've been going through this process, I started to recognize, whoa, now for the first time ever, I realize the value of these different places through the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, where people have chosen to change their name. Like Abram went to Abraham, and Sarai went to Sarah, and Jacob, I believe, was Israel. And then Saul went to Paul. Yeah, Saul went to Paul, and then Simon Peter, he was Cephas before, I think he was something else before Cephas. Cephas means Peter. Anyway, but the whole idea of when somebody experiences God, there's a shift in their identity. Yes. There's a shift in that. And it's like, hey, and at this point, you get to choose who you are. And these names that people were given were names that represent their new identity in Christ, if you will. It's like, what? This is amazing. Anyway, it's called The Four Agreements, and really awesome book.
So I'm going to a business conference in Arizona. My wife and I will be driving since it's just down the road. And I know what book we're going to listen to. That's going to be awesome. So I love that you brought in identity because, so, you've talked about domestication. I never thought of it that way. The way I kind of learned it was we've been programmed. Like the reason you and I are speaking English is because we were programmed that way. And like we could do this podcast episode in any language that we wanted, but English is the easiest. Like I would have to use a lot of Google Translate. I speak a little bit of Spanish. We could have picked that one if we want. Anyways.
Hablo español un poquito.
Oh, sí. Muy bien.
¿Por qué no agua en la piscina?
Yeah.
By the way, that means why is there no water in the swimming pool?
Okay. I got
the only light. Reason... The only reason I remember that is porque I remembered is why or because, depending on what instance. So porque is easy for me to remember. No is no. Porque no. Aqua, I mean, anybody that's listened to Sesame Street as a kid knows what aqua is.
Yeah. Right?
Porque no aqua. En la, in the, that's easy. I mean, that's basic element or that's high school Spanish. And Can I be really truth and authentic? And if you want, you can edit this out. How I remember a swimming pool is there's no piscina pool.
Yeah, that's
all right. Porque no aqua. Why is there no water in the swimming pool? Piscina.
Yeah, and that's the one that threw me for a loop because I didn't know what that one was. So bottom line, like, we have this programming, we have this domestication, and it all boils down to, in my opinion, your identity. And recently, I still haven't checked this to make sure it's true, but I've heard this story on Facebook, so it has to be true, about a flea. If you keep a flea, so a flea has like a 36-inch vertical. Like most people can't even jump that high. Like fleas just have this amazing ability to jump. If you were to catch a bunch of fleas and put them in a jar, they still have this 36-inch vertical, but because
ability,
of the lid...
Ability.
Yeah, the ability. Because of the lid that's on the jar, and they don't like hitting that top of the lid, they then hold themselves back, and they only jump just shy of where the top of the lid is. Now, the thing that blew my mind when I heard this, and again, I haven't yet fact-checked this, so but it's a cool story... If you take the lid off the jar, those fleas continue to just jump at that level to avoid hitting the top of the jar.
And not even that, but in the shape of the jar. But so if there's a curve leaving up to the lid, even they know where the curve of the jar is. So even below the jar, if there's a curve, they know not to hit that also. So in this metaphor, whether it be true or not, it's a wonderful metaphor. Even they not only have the height of the jar, but they actually maintain jumping within the shape of the jar because they've been trained so well.
Yeah, but then let's take it the next step. You can remove the lid from the jar. They now can't escape because of their own self-limitation. If those fleas have baby fleas, those baby fleas eventually, they still have the ability to jump 36 inches, but because they've seen their parents only jump so high, they only jump so high. And this, I believe... Like, this is one of my problems with religion right now. Gosh, so many things like religion, politics, education. We are all playing by the limits that other people are telling us. No, no, this is a limit. You can only jump this far. You can only do this. And we are not really truly tapping into our own potential. I believe that I am a son of God. As a son of God, like I'm basically a God experiencing a mortal experience. There are some godlike capabilities that I am denying myself from experiencing because of the limitations that were taught to me in this domestication process. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Matter of fact, that is the entire premise of the book The Four Agreements and everything that I've been studying for the last 3.5 years. If you were to ask me who am I today, like if you were so sometimes when I'm interviewed on a podcast, they'll say, hey Cliff, For those who aren't familiar with who you are, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Today, depending on, you know, what we've talked about before, sometimes even then I will say, well, first and foremost, I am a divine spiritual being here having a human experience.
Yeah.
And when I came to into physical manifestation 50 years ago, my parents gave me the name Cliff Ravenscraft. Since then, my journey and my experience has been this. And along the way, I have adopted these beliefs and lived my life in this way and made these agreements and have entered into these relationships with individuals. And today, the kind of work that I've been doing is this.
Yeah,
see, that is an accurate description of my identity.
Yeah, that's interesting that you give your identity that way. One of my claims to fame or infamousness, I don't know. One of the things that I share a lot, especially when I'm on other people's podcasts, when I was 13, I accidentally lit my school bus on fire with rubber cement.
I read that on your about page.
Yeah. And for a long time, I lived within the identity that there was something wrong with me, that I wasn't good enough. I can't even remember if we said this in the recording or before, but I wake up almost every morning with like imposter syndrome, wondering like, is today the day that people realize that Ben Pugh is not good enough? And I believe that we are kind of put into this box by the beliefs of other people. And what happens is if we're not aware of that, if we're not intentional, we let those beliefs continue to hold us back. So part of the reason I share that part of my story is because most parents that I, so typically I work with parenting, which if you come to me for parenting coaching, by the way, you get so much more than just parenting stuff. Like we talk about spiritual stuff, law of attraction, all this amazing stuff. But the thing is, we let our identities that have been given to us limit us. And recently I've been studying about trauma because trauma is this buzzword now and everyone's like, well, you got to be trauma informed. But while I was studying about trauma, there was this phrase that really stuck to me. People who can make sense of their trauma are more resilient. They're more able to not only move past the traumatic event, but use it as something that is powerful in their life, that kind of helps anchor them for good. And I believe that that ties in with your identity, because how you choose to think about this traumatic event, how you choose to narrate the story of your life from this event going forward, it can either be the worst decision ever that has ruined your life, which is what I was kind of programmed to think about lighting a school bus on fire, or it can be the most powerful moment in your life that launches this astronomically successful career. You get to choose what story you tell, and they will sink in and they will become a part of your identity. So
I agree with that. And it, you know, the book that resonates most with me on that particular line of thinking is Man's Search for Meaning, which is Viktor Frankl. Yep. And his idea of how he experienced Auschwitz, losing his entire family, and finding a way through that, finding meaning and purpose in the suffering that he experienced. And so it's what meaning you associate with that that truly impacts what your identity is. I'm either a victim or I'm a creator, and we have the option of either.
Yeah, and I would say even more than like finding your identity or finding the purpose, it's a matter of defining. Like, I remember I was in the fourth grade, we had to find words in the dictionary, and I knew pretty much what all the words meant. So I just gave them their own definition. I remember the teacher being so upset. She's like, no, you have to look it up in the book. And I'm like, why? Like, this definition makes more sense than like, well, one, this, two, that, like, I believe that we have the power to define who we are and what things mean. And this kind of reminds me of this recent unsubscriber that you had. Like, that was not a right or wrong decision. Like, they made a choice. They're defining their identity, their reality. And I love how you kind of tied it back to, like, who am I to judge? If I judge, I will also be judged by the same judgment that I'm doling out to people. And therefore, you can just allow people to make their own decisions, and you just go on your journey being authentically you. So we didn't talk about this earlier. I'm just going to throw this out. You have impacted my life on multiple occasions. There's one point in education. I think you had been on Pat Flynn's podcast recently. And that's when I realized I do not want to be an educator my whole life. And I decided I want to be a podcaster. And my wife went behind my back, signed me up for your podcasting A to Z, bought all this stuff. Okay, it wasn't maybe behind my back, but like, we had spent thousands of dollars on podcasting equipment. And I remember the hope and the excitement that I had in that time. Well, because of fear, I got right back into education. Well, and I got my dream job as a high school principal. And I just loved it for 5 years. But then that came to an end. And I was like, I'm never going to work for someone else again. I'm going to do my own thing. And I struggled for a little while. But I've always been a fan of yours. And I remember hearing you on Clubhouse, I believe it was. Is Clubhouse still a thing? I'm not on there anymore.
It's not as much as it was during the pandemic and everybody was globally locked into their homes.
Yeah.
But it's still out there. And I frequent it maybe about once or twice a month. I'll tip my toes in the water and I might be on there for about an hour a month.
Gotcha. Okay. But I remember you talking about abundance and the law of attraction, and you referred to the Bible, the place where I believe it's Christ teaching the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, look at the sparrow. They don't worry about what they're going to have or what they're not going to have. They just trust that it will all be provided for. And then he asks the people, aren't you in God's eyes greater than a sparrow? And I remember that really shook me to the core, because every morning I was waking up in fear, in worry, wondering, am I going to have enough? Am I going to get enough clients? Am I going to be able to feed my family? And I remember learning at that time that that energy, that fear, determines what you allow to come into your life. And so since then, I feel like I've been kind of on this journey exploring the law of attraction. And one of the things that has really shocked me, number one, is I believe it's littered throughout the whole entire Bible that they talk about this law of attraction. And yet, I believe that most Christians poo-poo on the idea of law of attraction and see it as being weird woo-woo outside of the realm of Christianity. Have you found that to be the case for you?
Absolutely, hands down. So I come from the first 47 years of my life, I was devoted to the agreement or the dream of, that I grew up in and that it was handed down to me, of fundamentalist, orthodox, inerrant word of God, Bible is the only way, Christianity. So that was the belief system that I had adopted and that it was part of my operating code. And when I was in high school, began to hear about this thing called law of attraction and new age thought and new thought movement and think and grow rich and all these other things that people were talking about out there, the circles I was in or the jar that I was in, I saw, it's like, wait a second, there's people out there saying that I can jump, what was it, 3 meters?
36 inches.
36 inches? It's like, wow, I can jump 36 inches. And inside the jar, they said, dude, whatever you do, don't jump any more than this 3.5 inches inside of this jar, or 4.5 inches, whatever, however tall this jar is. Do not jump out of this jar. Outside there, those people are lost. They're damned to hell. They're false teachers, and it's a slippery slope. I'm telling you, there's nothing good for you outside of this jar. Stay away from that law of attraction stuff. Stay away from that personal development stuff. Stay away from that self-help. Just think of the words, self-help. It's all about selfishness.
Sounds selfish, yeah.
And hence, yes, I was conditioned to stay inside of the jar. And every single time I had a thought about pursuing personal development, self-help, and anytime I heard law of attraction, inside of me, I was triggered fear, anxiety, and doubt about my eternal salvation if I were to even read a book about these things. So yeah. Yes, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, I love that we've had similar experiences. So I, to this day, identify as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Most people know us as Mormons. And I have a lot of people who come to me and they're like, man, when I found out you're Mormon, I wasn't going to keep listening, but what you teach isn't like churchy. It isn't Mormonism. And I'm like, I believe that there are eternal truths out there that every religion is kind of trying to implement. But then I believe that there's still this overlying fear that drives things where, like, don't rock the boat. Don't. I feel like, so lately I've been teaching about repentance in like not a churchy way, but like so many people I feel like are like, I don't want to make a mistake because I don't want to repent. And in my mind, repentance is just, no, I don't like the direction I'm heading in. I'm going to choose a new direction. And recently I read a study. I think it's like 90% of people are not only dissatisfied in their job, they completely hate their job. They loathe their job. Like, this to me is that fear of repentance. If you hate the job, why not course correct? Why not repent and go in a different direction? But because of all the fear that just the way it's been taught, it keeps us in that bottle. Like you were talking about, like, whatever you do, don't bang up against that ceiling. Don't get out of this jar. Like, it'll ruin you. And I feel like this, so if we were to tie this into parenting, I feel like one of the things that people get wrong about the law of abundance and the law of attraction, like most of the people that want to like build their business off of attraction and manifestation, they're like, here's how to turn it on. The thing that I believe is that you can't turn it on or off. It just is. And the life, if you are not happy with your life, like in parenting, if you are not happy with your teen, that is what you have manifested up to this point. There's no turning it on and now manifesting something different. The process is about understanding and taking responsibility for, like, how did I create this reality? How did I bring this into existence? And once you understand that, you can see kind of the flaws. And you can start changing out how you think, how you believe, how you feel, the energy that you put out into the world. So if I were to like bring this to a point, like this morning, I woke up just like a little bit more worried than average, probably because I had you on my show and I'm like, okay, got to make Cliff happy. Hope he's impressed with me or whatever. But I know, how am I doing? No, just but the thing is, in that moment, I realized, oh my goodness, this is my identity, worrying about what other people think. And that gets me into a place of fear and worry, which sends out signals into the world that, hey, Ben is looking for fear and worry. Let's give him stuff that makes him scared and worried. When you understand that, you have the power to choose. Who are you? How will you think? How will you feel? And you can trust that that will bring in what you want, basically, in the world. And so as a parent, I see lots of parents, and you have a daughter getting married soon.
I do.
Yeah. As a parent, do you have any fears and worries?
Zero.
Good. Why? How'd you get there?
Because I believe that all three of my children are divine spiritual beings who are here having human experiences. And as their true essence and identity as divine spiritual beings, they are perfect, holy, blameless, and pure. And that their souls as divine spiritual beings, their true essence, their true identity cannot be harmed or maimed or hurt in any way by anything that exists in what we call the material world, which is nothing more than a projection of the mind of Christ. And so for that, everything that happens in this world is just a manifestation. It is a dream. Now, here, if we identify with the dream, then yes, for there can be a significant amount of suffering.
And most parents get into that. Like, you're the anomaly, I would say.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak for what other people do. I used to be that myself. I used to very much be worried and anxious and upset and angry, and I would be a disciplinarian, and I would yell at my kids. I would be very upset if they didn't just listen to me the first time I asked them to do something. By golly, I began to train and discipline my kids the way that I had learned to be from my parents, and I'm sure they learned from their parents and all this other stuff. But when I began to understand who I truly am, that I am not Cliff Ravenscraft. So if I go back to how I said, if you were to ask me to introduce myself, I am not Cliff Ravenscraft. Remember, I told you, I am a divine spiritual being here having a human experience. And when I came into physical manifestation inside of this bodily form that you see in front of you, I decided to take part in this experience of life. And my parents gave me the name Cliff Ravenscraft, put that label on me. And I agreed to carry that label with me. And today, I still carry that label. It's very advantageous for me currently, given my current desired outcome in the adventure of life and the game that I'm playing here. It allows me to engage with all of the other agreements and parts of the dream that allows me to, you know, pay taxes, get paid back, and have bank accounts and all this stuff. It's advantageous for me to hold the name Cliff Ravenscraft and pretend that that's who I am.
Yeah.
But I am not Cliff Ravenscraft. And my kids are not who they have as a label. They are divine spiritual beings. So if I believe that, then I know that they came here also to have this human experience.
Yeah.
And I believe prior to what I believe today, I used to believe train the child in the way that they should go. You know, an Old Testament scripture it's like, okay, here's the rules. Here's the commandments. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. All right. But along the lines, somewhere along the ways, I understood it's actually the scripture is more that teaching is more along the lines, train a child to go in the way that they are bent. In essence, enable your child to find and create their own way. As children of God are meant to do, children of God, which they are images of God, which means that they were created in the image of God, which means they also are creators.
Yeah.
And so I want to train my children to go in the way of creating their own reality, their own existence, create their own dreams, to make up their own dreams and to free the dream inside of them. I don't want them to live my dream. And the only way that I can fear and worry about my kids as a parent is actually worrying whether or not they're going to live their lives the way that I believe it ought to be. That's my dream, not theirs.
Yeah. I love that. So one of the things I teach about all the time is attachment, and how anytime you're attached to something outside of your control, you're setting yourself up for disappointment if you don't get what you're attached to, but you're also positioning yourself as the victim. Like, well, I have to have this to be happy. So in my experience working with parents, most parents do not have that level of confidence that you have. Most parents are kind of getting into the fear, believing that there is a specific right way to do this life, and that any deviation from that right way is wrong. And then we get into this fear. The powerful place that Cliff is talking about, that is accessible to anyone. And I believe that there's a simple process. I believe that you first need to know who you are. Identify, like, if you don't believe in God, that's fine. Like, but you are a divine being who has the power and the potential to not only overcome the challenges in life, but to harness them to propel you forward. It's kind of like sailing a ship. If you have it, okay, so I do not sail, so I'm not the expert in this. Maybe you do, Cliff, and you can correct me, but you have to have wind. And it doesn't really matter where the wind is coming from. You can find a way to harness that wind to then get you to where you want to be. But if there's no wind, you're stuck. Like, you can't move anywhere. And I feel like in this world, like, we look at our trials as if something has gone wrong. We look at, like, maybe your teen accidentally lit their school bus on fire with rubber cement. And we just think, oh my goodness, that shouldn't have ever happened. There should not have been this trial, this wind. And the truth is, our trials, our struggles, those are the winds that we need to fill our sail to help us move forward. It's then up to us to choose, how am I going to capture this wind? How am I going to utilize this to propel me forward? And when you have a divine identity and you realize, no, my job is to move forward, my job is to grow, it changes how you interpret your struggles as a parent, your kids' struggles as children. And now you get away from this idea of right and wrong, and all of these wrong things need to be avoided. And it helps you realize, no, like, I can just help my children trust in themselves. I can help them learn how to use the wind and harness that. Go ahead. I can see your mind at work.
So there are a couple of things, Ben, that have come to my mind. This whole idea of being fearful of what my kids will experience. And let me ask you this. Ben, you know a bit about me. Your audience may not, but you know a bit about me. Would you say that I am living an incredibly empowering life today?
Yes, like, not only empowering, but inspiring. I see what you're doing, and I am inspired.
Okay. Would you, as much as you know about me, do you know that I've been married to my wife for over 26 years, more in love with her today than I've ever been before, and we have an incredibly empowering relationship where together, we work together to help people free their dreams inside of them? Do you know this about us? Or at least about me?
Yes, because I've listened recently to your podcast.
Do you feel like I'm a pretty well-adjusted person? Do you believe that I am responsible for helping more than 40,000 people launch a podcast and put their message out into the world? Are you familiar with the fact that today I have been in business for 19 years, 17 of which have been full-time self-employed, and I've generated many millions of dollars in revenue over the course of these years?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm doing okay, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm doing okay. Here's a little bit about my backstory. My biological dad was a drug addict and an alcoholic from the day I was born until he died in May of 2015. When I was a kid, one of my earliest memories as a toddler was when my dad was getting high and doing whatever drugs he was doing with his group of guy friends. And he left me sitting there as a toddler playing in the room while all this is going around me. I wanted to go outside. I saw the sun shining. Matter of fact, in my mind, I see the sun coming through the little screen. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to go outside and play. And as I begin to walk towards the door, one of my dad's friends who is high on drugs, holds a giant sharp knife to my throat and says, if you make one more step towards that door, I will slit your throat. Right. That is one of my earliest memories as a child. Now, I could tell you about all sorts of other trauma and experiences that I've had as a child with my biological dad. And I could tell you about all sorts of other crazy, stupid, idiotic things as I did as a kid. At one point, I was actually listed on the child's arsons watch list.
Dang, all right. I didn't find me at that list.
So for me, I was just playing with little torches in our basement, but I didn't want to tell my mom and dad that that's what the smell of the smoke was during my sister's birthday party, because I was giving people tours through the dungeon of our basement of our house. And they made me go next door and call the police or the fire department because they smelled smoke. And I'm like, I know what the smoke is. It's not a big deal. But, you know, I'm not going to tell. So they come and it's like, but anyway, I mean, I loved playing with fire. I mean, I did all kinds of stupid, crazy stuff throughout my lifetime. All of the things that typically a parent would be worried about. And with all of that, Ben, I mean, every experience, every mistake I've ever made, every tragedy, every stupid thing I've ever done, it has been a part of my life that has allowed me to have the experience that I have today. Yeah. And the way that people resonate with me, the way that I can empathize and understand what people are going through, I wouldn't take away, if you take away any of those experiences of this human experience of life, I wouldn't be this version of this guy that you're talking to right here in physical form. So why worry?
Yeah. I love that. Why worry? The thing is,
just this idea, be anxious about nothing. Sounds like a pretty cool idea.
Yeah. And if we look at like the track world of life, everything has always turned out okay. And it forevermore, and it is currently okay.
I just want to speak to the mind of some people who just heard that and they're like, dude, you have no idea, Bill, Ben. My child just got killed in a car accident last week, and I'm sorry, but I just can't buy that one.
Yeah.
But it depends on what you mean by that statement, that overall things work. And the real suffering here is what we determine what it means to have a child and whether or not that child is dead or has passed and all sorts of things. So for somebody who has just lost a child in a tragic car accident and that child's no longer here, depending on your beliefs and what dream you've been handed down and what you firmly feel conviction in your heart is true, then yeah, it you no longer have a child and that child is dead and you know, what's the afterlife? All of this stuff is it can create a lot of suffering, but depending on your beliefs about what eternalness is and about what the origin of a soul is and I'm speaking specifically to somebody who just had a gut reaction because I sensed it in my being as soon as that came out. I know I can already sense outside of time the people who heard that. It's like, wait a second. He just said something and he has no idea what I just experienced this past week or last month or last year. And what I will say is for me is when I think about this is in my instance, if one of my all three of my children are I am so incredibly filled with gratitude. They're all healthy. They're all well-mannered and all this other stuff. I mean, they wouldn't live up to the expectations of what my parents, you know, taught me to be when I grew up. But that's okay. They are who they are, and I love them and all this stuff. But if you were to ask me if I was to lose a child, what would my experience would be? Well, I'm certain I'd be triggered into some grief. I would certainly have a feeling and a sense of loss of my ability to be with them now, just like I had when my biological dad passed away in 2015 and stuff like that. But what I will say is that I don't believe in death because I don't believe that there was a – if I believe in the eternity of my soul, that my soul will live eternally, well, eternal – means without end, but it also for me means without beginning.
Yeah.
And so my soul existed, my true essence of who I am existed before I entered into this physical form. And this physical form is here for a period of time and then will go away. I will go away. But when I go away, energy is never destroyed. It's just transformed. It's just converted into other form of energy. I will simply transition from this life to the next. I'm looking out here, Ben, and I see outside of my window, it's spring. The trees are budding here in northern Kentucky right now. And in a couple of months, it'll be all green, lush leaves. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. I love it. And in the fall, they turn this red and orange and brown and all of this other stuff. And you know what's going to happen to those leaves after that?
Fall off the tree and they're going to fall into the ground.
They're going to fall off the tree. And I personally don't think of it as rotting into the ground. I see them as just as they were composed from the energy of the tree, they will then return and decompose and be transferred back into the earth.
Yeah.
From dust I have come, to dust I will return.
Yep. I love that.
But I don't mourn the loss of the leaves of the tree in the winter. I'm incredibly thankful for the green leaves and the beauty during the summer or during the spring and the summer. And I'm so incredibly filled with all of the beauty of the final days of those leaves on the tree. And I know that those leaves have never actually left the earth. They've never left creation. They were never anything more than energy in the first place. And that energy has returned to the ground and is nourishing the tree, and it will return in a new form in a new way.
Yeah. Oh, that is so good. And to kind of go back to like when you said you could feel like people being triggered. So I've lost a brother in a car accident, and I lost a student to suicide my very first year as principal. If you are in that place, one of the things that I can tell you, so if I were to lose one of my children, I know I'd be sad. I know that I'd be more than sad. I'd be distraught. But one of the things that's powerful for me to understand is that I'm choosing to feel that way. Because emotions always have a balance. And the more I choose to love my children, which, by the way, any of you parents listening, if you're getting into fear, worry, anger, the stronger the negative emotion, there is a positive emotion countering that. And for me, it would be powerful to know, like, if I were to lose one of my children, which I just pray that I won't, the thing that would bring me comfort is that the depth of my sorrow would be indicative of the height of my love. And that's powerful to know. If you are a parent really struggling with your teenager right now, you're probably more focusing on that uncomfortable, undesired emotion and not the counterbalance of that. Like, we don't get upset about people dying who we don't know. Or like, I don't know, maybe you dislike someone enough that if they died, you're like happy. You're like, yes. It's always this emotional balance, which I love that you brought in like the leaf and the energy. Like, I grew up, I used to till my grandma's compost pile, but she'd gather up all the leaves and she'd be like, no, this is important for the garden because there's so many nutrients here. Like, if we think of the nutrients as just simply energy, all of us are that leaf. There's so much energy.
Yeah, we are the nutrients of the earth, or the salt of the earth, the preservers of the creation. Yeah. That's who we are.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my goodness. This episode has been different from my normal episodes, but so
because you had me on it.
But here's the thing. If you say my audience wanted to hear more from you, where would be the best place? So I know I paid to listen to a private podcast, which, guys, I've listened. I think it's great. If you want to learn more about kind of this spiritual journey and where Cliff is, I would recommend, like, you could even start there. I think it starts at $10 a month.
It's as little as $10 a month over at trainwithcliff.com. It's the Train with Cliff audio journal, and it's basically where I share everything that's going on in my personal life and professional life and spiritual life. And it's kind of like you're just getting an opportunity to read my journal, except for the fact that I speak it into a microphone instead of writing it into my journal. And oftentimes I will actually, I do many, many thousands and thousands of pages of handwritten journaling. And sometimes I read those in my audio journal, as Ben knows.
Okay,
but so that's one place, trainwithcliff.com. But for your audience who might be interested, if I've said anything that's piqued your curiosity, if you're resonating, it's like, man, I'd like to hear more from this guy. The one thing that I would encourage you to do is head over to mindsetanswerman.com/free. That's mindsetanswerman.com/free. If you type that in, you'll get the opening keynote to my Free the Dream conference called All Beliefs Have Consequences. This is a 1-hour talk. And if you watch this, you will discover where all of your beliefs came from. You'll learn that every belief that you have will determine your experience of life. So everything that you think and feel comes from what you believe, and that leads to every action you take, and every action you take leads to the results that you get in life. And it's a mathematical formula. It's pretty much, once you see this, you can't unlearn it, and it will radically change your entire experience of life. It's absolutely free at mindsetanswerman.com/free.
Awesome. I'm actually going to go check that out. It's very similar to what I teach. I believe you're familiar with Brooke Castillo and the model.
I'm familiar with Brooke Castillo. I don't know about her modalities and strategies and techniques and stuff, but
yeah, she teaches.
I hear lots of great stuff about her.
She teaches circumstance, it's a thought, feeling, action, and result. I teach something similar. I kind of simplify it down to the be, do, have model, but I think what we believe just really kind of sets a course for our life. And you had me at, this will help you understand what you believe, why you believe it, and how it will impact your life.
Most importantly, it also includes the teaching of how to discover what beliefs you have that are currently limiting you from experiencing what you want to experience, how to discover where those beliefs came from, what the sources are, and also how to eliminate or disassociate those beliefs from ever coming up in the future, and how to replace them with empowering beliefs that will encourage or that will give you the experience of life that you desire. So again, all of that's included in there.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to go check it out too. If you want to join me and go check that out, go to mindsetanswerman.com/free. It's awesome. All right, Cliff. Well, thank you for joining me today. This has been an honor. I remember going through your podcast A to Z course and thinking like, oh, maybe someday I will have Cliff Ravenscraft on my podcast. It's just powerful that today is that day. So thank you.
My sincere pleasure, Ben. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Awesome. All right. And those of you listening, come back next week. I'll talk to you soon. Did you know that parents and teens all over the world are struggling? I believe that the most important thing that you can do in your teen's life is simply being an impactful parent, which means taking the time to understand what parenting traps are holding you back, and then taking that knowledge and using it to completely uplevel your parenting. This is why I've created a brand new quiz to help you better understand your own parenting traps. This quiz will help you pull back the curtain on your own parenting and gain some powerful insights so you can stop getting caught in the same old parent traps. This quiz will help you start being the parent of your dreams so you can finally create an impactful relationship with your team. This quiz will take you less than 2 or 3 minutes, and it is completely free. If you want to take this quiz and better understand the traps that are keeping you stuck as a parent, go to benpewcoaching.com/parent-trap-quiz and get an insight into what is holding you back as a parent so you can completely uplevel your parenting. I'll see you soon.